So this one is C, yeah. So this is the pure awareness or pure consciousness. So this is the first to come out, yeah, from your nature. First to come out. Then after that, you have this one. Yeah. Then you have this one. This one will connect to the senses. So this S is a senses, our six sense door, six sense basis. So this one will trigger our mundane living. Then this one is the meditative training, the direct seeing. Then this one give rise to understanding or wisdom. So this U is understanding. When wisdom developed, the Buddha called it Yoniso Manasika. Then this one is, they call it the true living or third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. So this phase of life is the most beautiful. So this true living or heedful living is the most beautiful part of our life. Means you get to live the life of a noble one, an enlightened one. Then no more suffering, no more problem. Then you understand life truly, clearly. Because this direct seeing will allow you to understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a living being. How the Paticca-samuppada, yeah, at the senses. So here is the five aggregate of form and mind. So this five aggregate of form and mind is where the Paticca-samuppada or dwelling, law of dependent origination, yeah, arising. With this triangle, it makes it very simple to understand meditation. Because we are trying to realize the wisdom or enlightenment, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So you need to use awareness, pure awareness, sati, leading to heedfulness. That is what Dhammapada verse 23 is all about. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. So all this, when you understand, you will not be foolish. Because here, mundane living is normally the mundane mind, the thinking mind. So this one, mundane or thinking mind. So if you use this to meditate, you are doomed. Because this one is thought-based. That's why thought-based meditation, the instrument itself limits you. It cannot realize the enlightenment which is beyond thought, beyond mind. Like the Buddha said, it's akaliko. So with this understanding, you will not be gullible. Then you know all the method, technique, object of meditation, they involve thought. Unless you do anapanasati or some form of what they call technique. That involve mindfulness training. But if you go this way, the thought is active. Even mindfulness training, you get confused because you don't understand. So, what is a method? What is a technique? Or what is an object of meditation for? They deludedly think the method and the technique and the object of meditation defines the meditation. No. Method and technique are just a series of instructions to do certain things. Understand not? That's why it's called method. It's a technique. So if you use the thought to do, it becomes thought-based meditation. So how can you awaken to a state that is beyond thought, beyond mind? So this understanding is very important. Very, very important. Then the other thing is object of meditation also same. If you have an object of meditation, it's because they don't know how to make their mind quiet, peaceful. They think a lot, heedless. The moment they sit, they realize the sankhara moving. We have the mental hindrance, especially restlessness of mind, think a lot. Then sometimes because of the habitual tendency, sensual desire, ill will. This one, so active throughout the day. If throughout the day, every moment of sense experience, you stir your mind, you react. into like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. So this movement become very habitual. Then what is going to happen to you? This mental hindrance will continue to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why after that heedless living, you sit down and meditate, the hindrances are there. Where you carry so much of them through heedless thinking, through habitual tendency. So thought base will fail. Then they realize they have a problem. So what they do? They introduce object of meditation to anchor the mind so that the mind does not run off, become heedless, wander off, understand not. But some teacher, they teach the traditional one, you know what they teach? They verbalize, they know. They say, when you see your mind is heedless, think a lot, you labor, thinking, thinking, thinking. You think by labeling, thinking, thinking, thinking will go away? Well, you didn't understand. The root cause is not the thought and the laboring. The root cause is the mental hindrances are there. And why are the mental hindrances there? Because your opposite spiritual faculty you have not developed. If you develop the spiritual faculty, the hindrances are gone. Then you can go this direction. This direction means from the pure awareness, you don't stir your mind. That's why we need to train this mundane mind until it becomes the pure awareness. So from here, you start. This pure awareness is where sati or mindfulness training is. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes ever mindful. Then you use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is mainly Noble Eightfold Path. Then this cultivation develops. And this one doesn't involve thought. The direct see, insight into phenomena, it awakens. Understand? So this one, no method, no technique. That's why Yun Chan brought back the book, The Method or No Method. You remember? That one is Fakusang. So you have to, he know. He said silent illumination. So relax, he also emphasized on relax, then maintain that silence. Then after that, he said the silence got two types. One type is a conditioned mind, focusing on concentrating. Well, when you need an object of meditation to anchor your mind so that it don't wander off and become heedless, what do you do? You have to force it, understand not, to become one-pointed. So that it cannot think, understand? Then they go into jhana. They go into concentration, samatha. That's how they feel very calm, the jhanic factor all there. You look at the five jhanic factor, only one of them is the enlightenment factor. So what are the jhanic factor? The five jhanic factor are vitaka, vitaka, vichara, piti, sukang, ekagata. Good. These are Pali words, okay? This one is applied thought. Then this one is sustained thought. You sustain it. Never mind. I have to rub off this one first to come out. Sustained thought. Okay? Then this one is calmness of mind, understand not? When you are mindful and aware, the sankhara are stabilized, then you become calm and peaceful. So they call it spiritual calmness. So piti is an enlightenment factor. Only this one is an enlightenment factor. These two are still thought, understand not? So with the object of meditation, they apply their thought. They sustain their thought until it becomes ekagata, one-pointedness. And they think by doing that, they have no thought. But it's not a free mind, it's a conditioned state. That's why it don't have awareness inside, but the energy is very strong. That's why I say thought-based, energy field. They develop jhana, they develop absorption. Then the mind that is in this state, no thought can arise. And that's how I told you. First jhana, all these five jhanic factors are there. Jhanic. All these are there. That's why there is still thought. There is still sustained thought. That's why the mind is not in absorption yet, not in apana. But you go to second jhana, these two is gone. Understand? Huh? Then no thought. Means thought also cannot arise. So they say this is very good. My mental hindrance gone. That's why they believe concentration, one-pointedness, absorption can bring about enlightenment. Then what they do is at the second jhana, they relinquish these two, so no thought. So they actually experience piti, the spiritual calmness, spiritual joy. So this one can become very, very, like, very nice. And nice. I use the word nice, but not yet blissful. The moment you hit this one sukha is blissfulness. How many of you have experienced piti and sukha? Ah, good. This sukha, you know what is it? It really blissful, make you really blissful inside that. I tell you. Sometimes it like, wow, it like tinkle you and say, it's so blissful. And you like to do it. You continue to focus and absorb into it. So what happened is, at the third jhana, this one becomes too gross. So this one also relinquish. Then at the fourth jhana, even sukhang also no more. That's why it's only ekagata, one-pointedness. So when it is at that level, they call it the equanimous mind. So they say the characteristic of the fourth jhana is equanimity. Understand? And really, it's like unwavering, collected. Cannot move on. Last night I went through the continuous mindfulness when I was in the university, right? I told you like a cylinder of energy here. Lightning strike also cannot touch it. It only at the peripheral, liang like that, but no noise. So what is happening is, if you go through one-pointedness or absorption meditation, which is samatha, basically, you are going to go into a state where there is no thought, correct? But it's a conditioned state. Means the mental hindrance all cannot arise. Then you don't know. Because you are not tested. Because the mental hindrance has been suppressed. Like the Buddha's analogy, you know, a cup of clear water. It is clear only when the dust, sediment, all settle down on the sun. But the moment there is condition, you stir it, what happens? The dust flows up again. Then when it's a free mind, they say when they go into daily life, to live life, they cannot. They have problem. They want to run back to the meditation, you call it what? The meditation area or retreat center and all those things. Because they couldn't take all this. Once you cannot maintain all this yanic state when you are in the midst of life or you don't meditate so often, then the mind will deteriorate. Then when it deteriorates, you realize all this defilement arise. The mental hindrance arise. Especially so when they get old. Before they get old, no problem. Well, my teacher also told me, Ajahn, he can carry his jhana for 24 hours. But at the time young, a lot of energy. But luckily, he did the daily mindfulness. After that, he withdraw to normal awareness, then develop the daily mindfulness. That's why he told me the highest meditation is we choose aware. All action, all movement in the present moment. What is that? That is daily mindfulness. So understanding this is very important. Okay? So hopefully with this drawing, that is clear. Yeah.
The other day, some of us asked you listening from the heart. So using this diagram also can explain.
Definitely. Because you are using awareness, understand? Sati. If you go this direction, means what? Sati is the one that is aware. It doesn't do anything. Well, this one cannot come out and deny. This one is not a being, understand? That's why sabbe dhamma anatta. Whether the condition or the unconditioned, this one is also non-self. Anatta, not a permanent unchanging entity, but it is the unconditioned. You cannot talk about it. But the unconditioned, there is silent, is not cluttered or clouded by the mundane mind, means This wrong thought, this emotion stirring everything not there, what happened? You have clarity, understand? Because the five aggregate doesn't arise. Sati is pure awareness before the knowing, understand? So before you know, we have a thought. That's why this one can see clearly, can see things as they are. The Buddha call it the direct seeing, jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality, the truth. Understand? So this is how you develop the meditation. Then when you have stabilized your awareness, which is at the heart area, then when you have located the gateway or you didn't locate the gateway or something, you stay at the heart, aware from there, then you listen from there. You understand now? Most people aware from where? They go to the brain. They think they are aware. They are actually conscious up there. And here, the brain is memory. Respond to memory. Thought arise. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara all here. So this thought, they are mental images. The second aspect of the five aggregate form. So if you use the pure awareness energy to trigger of sense door consciousness, then you input the content from your memory, then this one become mundane living, understand? Well, you are not using the wisdom to live. You are using your mundane memory, which is your belief system, your conditioning, your accumulated experiences, good and bad.
This part I saw it this way and help me understand. So the senses maybe different color. Okay. So the senses here I focus on brain. There are many more lah. So maybe these are the predominant one. So you call this the vijnana, right?
Yeah.
Vijnana, our consciousness make contact with the senses. Because the 12 links prompted me to think this way.
Yeah.
Make contact with the senses, distinctly without wisdom.
Yeah.
Make contact with the senses, go to our brain, get the memory, get the data from here, use this lens, maybe I put the word lens here lah. So we use our memory, or the other way around, memory lens. Memory lens. To interpret everything we see, the sense data, or what we hear. We go through this filter to see this. And then it creates the sankhara, the thought, and this thought will have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. This one, your self ego, the ego is very strong here. So this is how, for the large part of my life, I've been living and making decisions this way. And then when awareness, sensitivity and awareness was introduced, this was where it made a lot of difference. This awareness created a way to see the world without coming here first. So this allowed me to not use just my eye. It's not clairvoyance or anything. It's just that you're so sensitive that everything is happening. You see a lot of hidden data that the eye data and ear data could not see. You capture all that info, and through wisdom, you make contact with the senses, and then this time it creates pure, wholesome thought. You create the right thought, which leads to right action, right speech. Because wisdom gives you the right view in the first place, which is very important. Right view with regards to the law of karma, especially. Everything happens with karma. Otherwise, when something negative happens, we perceive it with the brain, and then the evil roots will ask us to retaliate, There's no right view. We don't think about karma, and then we just hit out at others. This one creates action, speech, and then it goes into our alaya consciousness, which accumulate into our karmic nature and cause rebirth. So the 12 links actually can be easily seen from the triangle. This is what I wanted to share.
So Sui brought up a very good point, that brings about better understanding. Because what I can add on to what she says, you must understand, normal unenlightened human being, they live this way, this direction, understand? They live life this direction. They think a lot, Hitler. They every time create thought. That's why Hitler's thinking. As this is happening, you can also develop this if you know how to meditate. Understand? If you know how to silence. The moment you are silent, this awareness nature is already there. Because this thing comes from the pure awareness. From the pure awareness, dependent origination starts. Everything that trigger off here, the five aggregate, they are dependent originating. Understand? So the causes and conditions are, you have the sense spaces. Then the pure energy gives the energy, the pure awareness. From here, it creates the energy. Therefore, spacious awareness, you focus. Then you perceive. So what happens is the sense data, together with the senses, upon contact, trigger off vijnana. Understand not? Because basically, it's pure awareness, understand not? Before you input the contact. But the complication is here. When you hear, you only got brain, memory, understand not? So brain and memory cannot see beyond thought, cannot see beyond mind. So it can only play with this. Then he got no wisdom. So how does he act? He acts through his memory, which is all the conditioning, belief system, everything that he accumulates, good and bad. So your phobia, your insecurity, your scars of memory, your belief system, your tradition, then your concept of race. All these come from what? Society's education and thoughts, limitation, which create words, concept and idea, to divide, understand, to create problem and confusion. That's why here is suffering. Like Sui said, the evil roots are there. Then this one creates the egoic mind. When you have the ego, you definitely will become selfish. Because you think you exist, understand? Then you want to own, you want to have, then you try to possess. Then after that, when things don't go your way, you're unhappy, you become unhappy, anger, hatred. There's an emotional negativity. This is the hatred. Then delusion, where you don't have wisdom, you don't understand, you don't believe law of karma, you don't believe how you function as a human. You believe you exist. The word is you exist. So this ego has been like enhanced, understand? Since birth until now, the identity, like the Buddha say, the five upadana khandhas, grasping area. The first one is identification with what? Huh? The body, the physical body, the form. Then you identify with your feeling. You grasp, you cling. You want pleasant feeling, you don't want unpleasant feeling. Then the perception also. Everything you perceive, you think real. You want to own, you want to have, you want to grasp, you want to give meaning. You like, you cling. You don't like, you want to push away. That's why all the duality, all the delusion, all keep on churning over this up. Unless you silence your mind to meditate, to develop the right view and the right understanding, you cannot act, understand? You cannot live life. So see this clearly. Then you will not be gullible. That thought-based meditation is dead, understand? That's why when I understand this, I try to teach you all. I dare not straight away say thought-based meditation is there. Everybody do that, understand? Then they will question me, you are just a lay person, not even a monk. Who are you to say all day with book also never write? Yes, that's why you have this type of problem in life. So when I started, I didn't want to come out and teach and share it because what I understand is the opposite of what human beings do. Human beings 99 or 100% here. Understand? Once in a while, maybe you're aware. But very rare. That one is like split second only. But the moment over is over. You know when you are in this pure awareness. Yeah? When you got a shock, understand? Like pending danger or what? You shock, then you don't think, understand? And you know how Guang Xing Lao He Sang, not Guang Xing Lao He Sang, Xi Yun Lao He Sang, how he became enlightened. No, that one is second page. Xi Yun, he pour the hot tea on, then the hot water burn the hand. So in that instant, you like, wow, shock. Then the thought stopped. That's why he in the poem, he say what? At that moment, when the cup hit the ground, the sound trigger off the mind to cease. You know how it cease? He described in the poem. It's like the mundane mind, the mind, pulverized. You know what is pulverized? Sama bogalevi. That's how you awaken. So he only need that condition. That's why awakening during the Buddha's time also a lot of arahant. You think they meditate? There were a nun pour water before the water reached the end here, enlightened. Understand? Then the monk who cannot even memorize a stanza, given a white cloth, asked him to clean. The more he cleaned, the more dirty it became. Then he suddenly realized, originally the cloth is pure, like his true mind, the pure mind. But the more you want to do, and who is doing? The thought is doing. He become defiled. That's why he become arahant straight away. So a lot of such incidents. So understanding this is very important. So when you only have one split second, not even a glimpse of split second, and that is pure awareness now. It's not cessation, no. Cessation, one glimpse, one split second, you can become an RF. But this one is just a pure. So to touch this, to come to know that you have the true mind, which is pure awareness only, take them so long, understand? Because they never knew there is another mind, another nature inside. All the while they thought, since birth until now, is thought is the only instrument I have. Where I have this brain, I have this memory, I have this knowledge. Then I like real, understand? I can live life, I can become conscious of things, I can know a lot of things, I can even do a lot of other things. Then why you say it's not me? So when you don't have the wisdom, when you cannot see all this movement which is dependent originating, that's like Patisyasamubbada, where the Buddha saw, then he realized this form and mind, the five aggregate, is not real. Not a permanent and changing entity, not him. He sees it through what? The direct seeing. With the pure awareness, he comes to know how he functions as a human, how the senses come to be. Then the senses, like the physics experiment, you need the three conditions, understand? Sense basis, sense data, and the consciousness, contact. Then it triggers off, like the light bulb, light up. Automatic, understand? Nature's law. You don't need a God or a soul inside there to be responsible for seeing. Then he realized everything is dependent on originating. Then every time he focuses and perceives something, where he directs his mundane mind towards something like seeing or hearing or smell, taste, tactile or thought process, what does he do? He cannot understand what that thing. Initially, it's the pure consciousness. In the seeing, it's only seeing. Only. But the memory that he has is so habitual and full of views, opinion, and all this, what they call rubbish inside. So straight away, he will go to the brain and try to understand. And then the memory tell you, okay, that one is ka, that one is what? Or Buddha Rupang, or my voice. So that perception come from memory, understand not? So that perception that introduce the content inside based on your views, opinion, and conditioning is what? is actually the rubbish. But that content has the evil root, as we wrote here. So how can that content develop understanding or wisdom? How can it transcend its own thought? That thought is limited. You focus, you shrink, and you become that thing with the content inside. It's just like I say, Bring Chang, you drive your car, you are at the level of the ground. Means you only know the content of that thought. And the whole spacious awareness, other thing happening in the world, you don't know. You are preoccupied with that thinking. Understand? That's why this one is limited. This one creates delusion. Then your like and dislike based on your views appear. Then you keep on sankarasanya, creating your own misery. Something. That's why when you see all this, then you come to know how you become afflicted, how you get yourself into trouble. Then you realize what the Buddha said is true. Yeah, everything is dependent originating. There is no thinker behind a thought. Why? The thinker never think, understand now? Because the thought comes from memory, understand now? When you go to the memory and try to understand, that memory tell you, understand? That's why thought is respond to memory. So the content all from memory trigger all content and become the thought. It's not a thinker who think, understand now? Without memory, the thought cannot arise. When you are mindful, aware, you see all this. That's why the Buddha's problem solved, because he said the five agree of form and mind is not me, the human being is not. Then no more problem with old age, sickness and death. Understand now? Nothing died. His nature never died. That's why he awakened. Then he connect, he inherit his wisdom, Sambhogayakaya, the perfection of wisdom and virtue, all coming, the 10 perfection. That's why he animate into a Dhammakaya, the Buddha that teaches the Dhamma. Okay? So when the understanding develops, then you look at this now, you start to laugh. Understand? How come so easy to understand, so clear, I cannot see? Well, nobody taught you. Nobody showed this to you. Well, this kind of understanding is very rare. Very rare, rare. You don't believe me, you go outside and find. Like the Buddha said, it is because of sakyadity that condition the living beings to grasp at the five aggregate of form and mind that make it the grasping aggregate that I call dukkha. So the main culprit is sakyadity. It conditions you to grasp, to cling. So this wrong view is the cause. So the Buddha said, without the Dhamma, which is the wisdom, the yonisomanasikara, you sure forever stuck in samsara. And most of the time, living beings come, they develop the ego and they become selfish. They have greed, hatred, and delusion. And this one continuously torment them, afflict them, and make them miserable. So every now and then, sometimes in the what they call mundane existence, if let's say you use your intellect, which is your what they call you know what is intellect or not? What is the other word? Your knowledge. Knowledge. Yeah? You use your knowledge. In our society, you can become successful, isn't it? Correct or not? Through knowledge, you study hard, you went to university, you got a PhD or master degree or a successful graduate. My time, graduate enough. Now, graduate very common. Like roadside everywhere. Yeah. So when you have that type of degree, the intellect and the knowledge, society recognize. They say you're very smart. But do you know all these people who are successful materialistically, they cannot live life. They have more problem. No money also got problem. Got money also got problem. Too much money, big problem. Louis Chok Wai, they say. So you see all the billionaire getting into trouble. Now our ex-prime minister also getting into trouble. All because of greed. Delusion. They think all this is easy money. So they become what? Professional. And the worst is, they feel that professional take too long. One lifetime to save, also not much. At the most, maybe 10 million. You're really very good, Anasana. Or maximum 100 million. But they become politicians, billions. Anasana. So easy. You know? That's why a lot of people want to become politicians. Anasana. So, society make it like that. That's why with all the success, materialistic success, you still cannot handle life. Do you understand? When you confront the first noble truth, eight reality, you still entangle yourself. You become miserable. You believe you exist. Understand? This Sakaya Ditti, where is it? The ego, Sakaya Ditti, this is the culprit. Through delusion, you develop self-delusion. So when there is self-delusion, you will grasp, you will cling, you will hold, and you suffer without knowing why you suffer. Well, you still blame others, understand? Sometimes you blame the government too. And sometimes you blame your competitor. And sometimes you blame technology. Yeah, lah. The business I am in, sunset industry, obsolete already. Understand? So all this is what society is. Without Dhamma, you cannot live life. Society is where the heedless, unenlightened, they call putujana, continuously creating this type of what they call game of suffering. And so, one tongku that you see. So they keep on running up and down. Birth and death, birth and death. This is what samsara is all about. This whole thing is samsara, understand? This whole thing is samsara. Samsara is cycle of birth and death. You cannot escape from the, you call it what, the vicious cycle, understand? The only way to free is to go back here. But this is your true nature. When you arise, this is the first thing to come out. But you have lost understanding that you have this one, understand? And when they tell you you got two mind, the other one is the true mind, the pure awareness, you say you gila. You never experienced it before, understand? So meditation needs this type of understanding.